But now they've got to start from deep in their end of the field, and Garrison Hurst takes advantage of it. He takes the handle, hits to his right, gets to the 20. He's at the 30, needs to cut in. He comes back up the right sideline, breaks the third tackle, comes down to the 30. He's down to the 20. He's down to the 10. He's down to the 5. He's into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, 49ers. 96-yard run from scrimmage. Garrison Hurst breaking tackle after tackle, sweeps down the sideline. Throws off bodies like clothes after a marathon.
Young, back to throw. In trouble, he's going to be sacked. No, gets away. He runs, gets away again, goes to the 40, gets away again, to the 35, cuts back at the 30, to the 20, the 50, the 10. He died. Touchdown, 49ers.
Third down, Alex takes the snap. Alex looking, got it, post, and it's good.
Second down, Ryan takes the snap, throws the slant to the left side. It's Russell, intercepted! The 49ers pick it, and Navarro Bowman, his redemption! Navarro Bowman running it all the way for the touchdown! No greater redemption!
San Francisco 49ers, we can do whatever we want.
Yeah. What is going on, faithfuls? This is your boy Mike and Tony from the Nothing But Niners crew. We are here to bring you guys another special podcast. This one is going to have our resident GM, Tony, is back in the building. What is going on, man? How are you?
What's up, Mike? What's going on, faithful?
Not much, man. Same thing over and over again. You know, we are trying to get through this slow time of the year, and there doesn't seem to be a whole lot to talk about. But before we get into what our topic is going to be for the day, I want to know how you're doing, man. What's going on? Tell me about what you think about the team so far, man.
I'm just really excited, Mike. I can't wait. You know, looking forward to it. Two and a half weeks away for training camp. Just can't wait.
Yeah. I mean, the draft is going well. We saw what free agency was. I mean, there's not a lot to complain about right now. Right now, what the big argument seems to be is what the outcome is going to be. It's crazy. We haven't seen a single preseason snap. People are saying, oh, you guys are foolish for thinking that you're going to win more than 7 games. You got the other people who say you are absolutely ridiculous if you don't think that they're going to win at least 5 games. I mean, you know, that's all there is to really talk about right now. But there is this one thing. You know, that's the most important position on the team. That's what we're here to talk about today. We're going to get into this podcast. We're going to talk about Kirk Cousins. Not just the 49ers quarterback, but this one is going to be specifically about Kirk Cousins, and we're going to tie it back into the 49ers here. So let's just go ahead and get this thing started, man. I mean, you ready to do this?
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it.
All right. So this is what I got for you. It doesn't seem like Kirk Cousins is going to sign with the Redskins. It doesn't look like they're going to reach a long-term deal. I mean, the time is running out. They have to get this done tomorrow. Monday is the deadline. So this is my question to you. As our GM, you are the GM for the 49ers for us here at Nothing But Niners. Should the Redskins trade Cousins before the season starts to get something in return for him? This is going to be the first thing I want to discuss with you. So if they don't get a long-term deal done by Monday, odds are they're not going to re-sign him after that because he's going to want to just test free agency. And they're not likely to hit them with that third franchise tag in a row. I think that it goes up to almost $30 million to pay him.
Just about $30 million. That's crazy.
So I don't think he's a $30 million quarterback. I don't think Kirk Cousins thinks he's a $30 million quarterback. So Monday is a really, really big day. Tomorrow's the deadline. So I'm going to ask you now, you're the GM of the 49ers, but let's pretend you're the GM over there in Washington right now. Hope you can keep your job. But what would you do? Would you try to trade him like a last-minute trade just to see if you can get something for him? Because otherwise, I think he might walk, right?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think he's going to walk. I think they're in shambles right now over there. You have Doug Williams running it. He worked under McLuhan. So they're all on the same page, and they all feel the same. Because if they wanted him, they would have locked him up 2 years ago instead of keep paying him 22, 24. Now you're talking next year if they do it again, it's $30 million. That's a lot of money.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, in my opinion, if they trade him, I mean, if they don't trade him and let him walk, you're looking at a third-round pick as a compensation pick for 18 draft. There was a rumor that because the owner, Snyder, does not like the Shanahan, that he would consider either franchising him or transitioning him to keep him away from San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, honestly, I would try to get the best deal now if I was Washington, if you know he's not the guy for the future.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like the logical thing to do, right? I mean, you, if this guy's going to be gone anyway, you might as well get something out of it, right?
Correct.
But that's just not how Washington operates. Let's be honest.
Because if he walks, you're getting a third. That's it.
Well, it depends on this tag. I kept seeing something on Twitter. I can't find the tweet right now. I was trying to scroll through really quick to see if I could pull it up. But it was saying that they hit him with a tag and he won't, or maybe that's a transition tag, but they hit him with a certain kind of tag and they won't get any compensation for him for walking. They won't get the compensatory draft
pick. That's the transition. It gives him the first refusal, the right to refusal.
Right. So if you do that, then he doesn't get, they won't get the compensatory pick for him. So correct. They wouldn't get anything then, right?
Correct. That's the way it seems. I mean,
so they're literally going to get one. That's crazy to me. That's absolute madness, man. I would never ever do that. I just can't see myself having this guy. Like, all right. So what do you think it is? Do you think that he's just not the franchise quarterback that he appears to be?
Well, 2017 season going into 18 is going to be a big test for him. Because as you know, we signed Garcon,
mm-hmm.
and DJ went to Tampa, I think. The Bucks, Deshaun Jackson, yes.
Yep.
He went to the Bucks, and now they signed Pryor. But, I mean, is Pryor on the same level as those two guys? We'll see. But it's going to be a big test for him. He lost his top two guns, a deep threat, and his possession receiver. So this season's going to show a lot about Kirk Cousins. If he explodes and, you know, he puts up big numbers like he's been, he's going to demand a lot of money.
Yeah, I agree with that. A lot of people are going to question, you know, the weapons that he has there. But let's be honest about one thing. Deshaun Jackson was, I am going to say, he's a gimmick guy. He has a very specific role. He does it very well. Not taking anything away from him. But he's not the guy who catches 10 passes a game. He's not the guy who even catches 7 passes a game. He'll get you 4 really big ones, and then that's it. So
correct.
I think someone like Terrell Pryor, who was, I don't know if I've seen a transition from quarterback to wide receiver look so seamless before. But he's going to have to sharpen his skills. You know what I mean? He's going to have to improve in the route running and things like that. But They lost Garcon, they lost Jackson. Garcon is definitely going to hurt. Absolutely, that's going to hurt. But I'm not sure that the Jackson, other than the safeties maybe, not having to double him because of his speed, things like that. But, I mean, he's going to have a healthy Jordan Reed back, and he didn't have him all of last year either. So it's going to be give and take, and Terrell Pryor is going to be a hell of a matchup. We saw that last year. You're right, though. It's going to be a huge test for him. So, do you think he's got it in him, man? Like, do you think he's going to be someone that can get over the hump? It's going to be one thing to see. But what that does is, if he does or if he doesn't, it still doesn't help the Redskins. Even if he goes in there and he flops, let's say he throws for 2,600 yards, 14 touchdowns, 23 interceptions, that still doesn't help the Redskins. They're not going to re-sign him still. There's still going to be a team that's going to say, well, you know what? The other two seasons before that, he was pretty damn good.
Correct.
So, now, you're saying if you're the Redskins, you would trade him. I think we both agree there. Let's move on from that one. Here's my other question for you. If Kyle Shanahan is back and he's standing on the table, we know how Kyle Shanahan supposedly did for Kirk Cousins, all right? That's why they drafted him in the fourth round. Supposedly Kyle Shanahan did this again for Joe Williams this year, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're our GM, you're John Lynch, and I'm Kyle Shanahan, and I am back on top of this table again. Don't start throwing money at me. I'm not dancing for that kind of money or anything like that. I want my guy. I want Kirk Cousins, okay? This is the guy. I want him. I don't want him traded to the Rams or Cleveland. Question number one, do we wait it out?
Yes.
Do we let the season run its course, or do we offer a trade? What are we doing? You have to make me happy. I'm Kyle. You're John. Work your magic. What are we doing here?
I let it run its course and sign him as a free agent because I honestly think he's walking from Washington, and that's that.
Wow. Okay. So
that's my honest opinion. And Snyder, like I said to you earlier, he does not like the Shanahans, Mike or Kyle, because of their whatever happened when they were there, the two of them. And there's been reports all over Twitter. He refuses to let him go to San Francisco. That's why they franchised him. That's why, you know, because we had a lot of cap space this year. We could have signed him with no problem. But I honestly think the demands to get him in San Francisco via trade. Now, I mean, listen, you can get Cleveland or St. Louis and try to jump in, and they might allow it to happen. McVay didn't have a problem with Snyder. You don't know. But, I mean, I can't see Washington, I can't see St. Louis doing that with spending a first-round pick on a quarterback last year.
Right. Yeah. I mean, maybe. I mean, we've seen the Rams do some strange things. We know Cleveland is always in the market for a quarterback. And you got to start looking at teams that are also going to be out there trying to replace the veterans that are there. At what point are the Saints going to go after somebody? Maybe they go for a young guy instead. But what about, you know, Ben Roethlisberger saying he wants to hang him up? He's contemplating. Phillip Rivers and Eli Manning both came out in those drafts also. You know what I mean? It's going to be something that there's going to be a team that's also just flat out horrible. We don't know what Jacksonville is going to do with Blake Bortles yet. You know, those are things that are going to come into play when the draft time approaches. But I mean, I'm going to see what happens, man. So you're going to wait it out. I'm Kyle Shanahan and I'm like, fine. But if he gets traded to somebody, it better be us. All right. So that's that. You're going to say, Kyle, play out the year. We have a plan. The plan is in place. Trust it.
Yeah, give Hoyer a shot. Let Hoyer and Barkley go at it and give them the shot. I mean, they spent decent money. We spent decent money to bring Hoyer in. I think it was $6 million, $7 million plus for 2 years. Give him a shot. He knows Kyle's system. You know, let them two battle it out and may the best one start.
Okay.
Because let's say we start trading picks, right, Mike?
Yeah.
If we're able, let's say it'll cost a one, whatever, or two, or three, whatever it may cost. Obviously, it's going to be higher for us because of the grudge.
Absolutely.
But let's say we just let it go, okay? We sign them. Now you have a one, two twos, two threes, plus your quarterback. Now, you know what you could do, how fast you could turn that roster around?
Yeah.
With those picks?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. But what if? All right, now this is the thing. Now this is that's a great point. This is gonna take us to our next thing here. Let's say we fast forward, he plays out the year in Washington, and now it's time. He's officially a free agent. He can say, I only want to play for the 49ers, but the fact of the matter is money talks, and he is used to making a pretty penny so far. All right? Now he has made $40 million these last two seasons. Okay. What kind of contract are we giving this guy? Because I heard something on Sirius XM, the NFL channel, saying that they think he's contemplating wanting the first fully guaranteed contract in NFL history. So I got two questions for you here. One, what would you give him if he's saying I want the first fully guaranteed contract? Give me years and give me numbers that you're going to guarantee him.
He'll demand for a fully guaranteed contract. I really don't. And plus, I think if it comes down to it, I think he's going to give Kyle the discount to come play for Kyle. He wants to play for Kyle.
You think so?
I really do.
All right.
I really do. Where would he go? He's going to go to Cleveland.
Cleveland's got money.
You figure Cleveland does have money. All right, but I mean, he would have to learn a new system. He's comfortable. He is comfortable with the Shanahan system, with Kyle's offense. He knows it. He played in it.
This is true.
I honestly feel if it comes down to it, he's going to give the discount to San Francisco.
So what
kind of contract wise? He's 28 years old right now. He's playing on a one-year, $24 million deal. The franchise tag, I give him anywhere 4 to 5 years, between $20 and $22 million per.
Wow. Now, next year, he's 28 now. This contract means, remember, we let this play out. We're in next year. He's 29. He's almost 30 years old. And we're going to give him that kind of money.
Well, they're going to, you know, they backload it. I mean, this first year, they'll give him a nice chunk of change because according to overthecap.com, in 17, as of right now, we have $66 million in space, in cap space. And then 18, we have $50 million in space. And then if you go to 19, we have almost $100 million in cap space.
Right.
So it's going to be similar to maybe like a Garcon type contract where his first year was like, I think his first year is like $16.5 million. So they might front load it. And then his salary will decrease or level out towards the back end.
Right.
But I think, honestly, $20 million you can get him for in San Francisco.
Okay. So that pretty much the average of what he's been playing for. So you'd offer him 4 year, maybe $110 million with like, what, 50, 60 guarantee type of thing? That's more. I think that's more guarantee money than Derek Carr got, isn't it? Like Derek Carr... Oh, no, it was Andrew Luck. One of those two guys didn't get a lot of guaranteed money. They got a big contract, and the average per year was a lot. But the guaranteed money wasn't all there.
I think Carr got a decent amount guaranteed.
I can't remember.
I don't have it in front of me.
Neither do I. I'll see if I can pull it up. But I'm gonna type in guaranteed money here, and let's see what I can come up with. So here's my thing. Now for the sake of just trying this little exercise, because we haven't seen a fully guaranteed contract. And I have a number that I think I could get him to accept. All right? But I want to see what you think. Tell me if he says, look, guys, I don't want all these loopholes and incentives and all that stuff. I'm here. I'm committed. Make me the first player in NFL history with a fully guaranteed contract. Now, that's going to also mean you don't have to break the bank. It means... you don't have to average $25 million a year. You get what I'm saying? So what would you offer him? If he's saying, I want it fully guaranteed, you can pretty much name the cost and the terms. He can't come in here and say, I want a six-year fully guaranteed contract. You're not going to do that to any NFL team. So
if he goes fully guaranteed, he's lowering his yearly cap number.
Right.
That's just my. I mean, I can't see anybody going $25 million per for 5 years guaranteed. That's like.
It's insane.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, I mean, I can tell you what I would do, but I'm really interested in seeing what you got. So, really quick, I got you here. Derek Carr guaranteed at signing. Nope. It says guaranteed at signing was $40 million for Derek Carr, $44 million for Andrew Luck. $41 million for Cam Newton. Now it says practical guarantees. These are the things like as long as they're on the roster.
Correct. And all the roster bonuses.
Right. So Derek Carr got 70.2. Andrew Luck got 87. And then you got Cam Newton down at 60. I think Cam Newton. Nope, wait. There's Russell Wilson at 61. Eli Manning at 67. These are the practical guarantees. These are the things like you said, just making the roster and stuff like that. The highest percentage as far as guaranteed, well, not counting rookies. Hold on. Let me get away from that because, you know, the rookies got the 100% guarantee thing. Except for Jared Goff, which is weird. Jared Goff and Carson Wentz both got 98.3% guaranteed. That's just weird. I don't know how that happened. But like Jameis Winston and Mariota, they all have 100%. But the highest percentage guarantee contract was Carson Palmer. He's got 86.24, highest percent guaranteed.
Wow.
So, I mean, we're going to have to put some money where our mouths are. You got Andrew Luck. That was the newest contract. 70% of his contract was guaranteed. It's not impossible for a quarterback to come out and say, you know what, guys, I want a fully guaranteed contract. It's not impossible. The rookies are getting it. Why can't I? It's going to happen eventually. So what are those numbers?
Yeah, but they're getting it under a very lower number.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you look at Jameis Winston is only going to make $25.3 million.
Was the last number one pick that got the crazy contract?
Was it Sam Bradford or was it Matt Stafford? It was one of those two.
Yeah, then the following year, they like kind of like restricted it and put like a cap on it, and then gave them the higher guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I always get the 2 years confused if it was Bradford or Stafford. But it was one of those two guys. So tell me, GM, you have to make your head coach happy because he wants him. You got to make the quarterback happy. He wants his first fully guaranteed. First, tell me how many years are you probably going to do this for?
If it's fully guaranteed, fully you got to drop it from 5. You got to go down maybe 3.
All right. Okay. All right.
Because that takes you to 29, it'll be 30,
32, 33. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, all right, this is it. 3-year deal. Now, he's okay with that so far. What's the magic number here? You gotta give me a number that's going to make me want to stay. I've been making $20 million the last 2 years under franchise tags, and I know those numbers were inflated. What are you going to give him?
Oh, man.
It's tough. It's tough, man.
It is tough.
How many millions a year are you going to give this guy guaranteed? That's the question.
See, 3 years.
Fully guaranteed. That's crazy to me, man.
It is.
Oh. Because it's coming. It's going to happen eventually. So
I'm not agreeing with you, but if you do 3 years at 18 mil.
18 million a year?
That's 54 million.
Yeah. That's not a bad number at all. That's not a bad number.
That's maybe where I'm at.
All right. So that's not bad. And I think he would take that. I think he would take that. 18 million a year. Let me see something here.
Fully guaranteed.
Yep. Got 18, 3, 54 million. That's not a bad number at all. So what I came up with was a 4-year contract for 75 million. I was at 18.75. That's exact.
Okay.
We're thinking the same
so
thing.
So we're right in the ballpark.
Yeah, we're right there.
The four-year deal actually is not bad because now, honestly, with Shanahan and Lynch agreeing that their number one target throughout the draft was Beathard. Mm-hmm. That gives them more than enough time to get ready.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but see, here's the thing, though. Now, I like the 3-year deal because you don't want Beathard's contract to completely expire and you still owe him another $20 million. You're not going to bench that $20 million for the rookies. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I like the 3-year deal also. It gives us that flexibility to go ahead and get one of these young guys in there and get them ready. So maybe 3 years was the way to go. I think you might have beat me on that one, man, that little exercise. I think you got that one on me. All right, so let's take a little break. We're going to go ahead and introduce our guest for the podcast this week. I hope you guys really enjoy this.
Nothing but Niners!
Joined now by our special guest, Benjamin Albright. You guys can follow him on Twitter at AlbrightNFL. Got that beautiful blue check next to his name. He is certified, a man of many titles, but you guys should definitely give him a follow. He knows his stuff. Ben, how are you doing today?
I'm doing okay, brother. How about yourself?
So far, so good, man. Nothing to complain about over here. Nothing that anybody would care about anyway. You know what I mean?
I hear that.
All right. The reason we have you on today is because we're discussing quarterbacks. In particular, we want to talk about this guy, Kirk Cousins. And so you were asked a question by one of our writers, curious as to know what you think or what you hear about Kirk Cousins' situation and how it might play out. And your response was, he wants to reunite with Kyle Shanahan. Short of a stupendous offer from Washington, I think that happens next year. This was a tweet from a couple of days ago. I want to say that happened on around the 11th. And today, the 13th, we hear that he is now going to play through his contract. It seems like the stars are aligning for your opinions. What gave you that thought? What was it that that makes you think that he's coming to San Francisco?
Well, I know he has a close personal relationship with Kyle Shanahan. I have a relationship with Kirk. I have a relationship with his agent, who's the son of former Colorado head coach Bill McCarthy, you know, out here. So there's a little bit of a relationship there. I will say this. I say that You know, Kirk was very happy with Kyle. They had a good connection together. Kyle was the guy who stumped for Kirk when the Washington Redskins drafted him. And at the time, you know, everybody kind of laughed at that because they took two quarterbacks in that same draft after they traded up to get RG3. They traded up to get RG3, and they get Kirk as well. So, you know, a lot of people thought of Kirk Cousins as an afterthought. Kyle Shanahan looked at him and said, "Hey, I see a project here. I see my future starter." So, you know, there's a relationship there. I'll tell you this: Kyle, when he was with the Cleveland Browns, convinced them to try to trade for Kirk Cousins. Unfortunately, they were only offering a fourth round, and Washington was unwilling to do that deal, for Kirk to move him on. So. It didn't get done, but Kyle has tried to, much in the same way Pat Shurmur has with Sam Bradford, trade for him at every stop he's been at.
Wow, and that's something I did not know. I do know that, at least I heard, I can't say I know for sure, but I know that I heard Kyle Shanahan was unhappy with the quarterback situation because they were kind of forcing his hand and playing Johnny Manziel, and that's when he wanted out of there. But knowing that he's been pursuing Kirk Cousins for so many years, is pretty phenomenal, man. That's something that's very interesting to me. Overall, his career, 65.9%. Let's just call it 66. 72 touchdowns and 42 interceptions. Overall rating of 93.6. Do you think Kirk Cousins is the guy that can lead a team, not just into the playoffs, but eventually a Super Bowl victory?
I think in the right scheme, yes. I think he's in a scheme right now that's very favorable for him. That Gruden Gulf Coast offense, you know, a lot of swing passes, slants, quick checks, things like that, that, you know, allow the quarterback to get the ball out quickly. I think in a situation like that, Kirk Cousins could thrive. I think he could thrive in an Andy Reid offense. I think he could definitely thrive, and we've seen it in a Kyle Shanahan offense. I think you don't want to get him in a North Turner style offense. I don't think that plays to his skill set. So I think that, you know, if you've got something with the West Coast foundation to it, that's predicated on matriculating the ball downfield, not a lot of vertical, 40 plus yard shots off play action stuff. I think he can be very successful. And I think that we've seen him have success in the system he's in and with Kyle's as well. So I think that, as far as the Super Bowl goes, if all the breaks fall into place and you've got the right supporting cast, I think absolutely you can be a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Awesome. 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 Now, the key thing that you said there was supporting cast. A lot of people don't feel that something that we have right now in San Francisco. And unfortunately, Kirk Cousins is going to warrant a pretty penny when he hits the open market. That being said, do you think, one, the value is there? And again, if you believe that him reuniting with Kyle Shanahan can get your team a Super Bowl, then I won't question the value. But will there be enough funds available to go ahead and build that team through free agency in the draft after he gets this mega contract? The Niners are one of the most cap space in the NFL, so maybe it shouldn't be a concern for the fans. I mean, what's your opinion on that?
Well, you only want to be forward-looking, in terms of that. So you don't want to saddle yourself with a $30 million a year deal. That's going to be ridiculous. But, you know, $20 to $25 million a year is perfectly fine, especially that's the going rate right now for quarterbacks. Stafford's going to get a deal that's along that line. I think that there's plenty of room there. I think getting the supporting cast in place is not going to be an issue. I think that, you know, when you look at how Kyle Shanahan has run the offenses that he's run, it's predicated on getting a two-headed running attack that can get downhill and get you yardage. And then you need a big play receiver. And then outside of that, you just need some guys. You need bodies that can come in and have a little bit of speed to them, you know, do play football at the NFL level, but they don't have to be elite athletes. I mean, if you look at the guys they had down in Houston, outside of Andre Johnson, that receiving core was mediocre, to be charitable. The Falcons receiving core outside of Julio, they upgraded over the course of last year, but, it wasn't by any means three of the NFL's, best receivers or anything like right. that. So, you know, you need a slot guy that can stretch the field vertically. You need a guy that can move the chains, and then one of those superstar Andre Johnson, Julio Jones types. So, other than that, though, the Shanahans have found running backs all over the map. That's kind of been their calling card over the years, is they're able to find running backs everywhere. So I don't think that'll be an issue. You guys have a line that can load great already. The question is a little bit about pass protection. And then maybe you want a tight end, a possession tight end guy that's solid and reliable in the passing game, and I think you're set.
Absolutely. So, I mean, the market is set already for a guy like Kirk Cousins, like you said, around $25 million. That's probably what's going to end up pulling in. I think the Niners are well off for that, and absolutely they can build. And, you know, one of the things that I noticed about the Falcons offense last year is that they spread the ball around a lot. And the scheme, because you don't know who's going to be getting the ball on any given play, it allows for average players to overperform. And so, like you said, between that, what Kyle Shanahan brings to the table and Kirk Cousins' abilities, it could things could be looking up for the 49ers. I do want to ask you a couple of questions. Now, these were from Zach, but again, he could not be with us right now, so I do want to ask a couple of questions on his behalf, if you don't mind that.
No, not a problem at all.
He says, why would Kirk Cousins appeal to the 49ers over them drafting their own quarterback next year, with the draft supposedly having such good quarterbacks coming out next year? What's the appeal there? Why spend all that money on the guy who is 28 years old right now? It'll be 29 soon. And instead of just getting your guy in the first round next year.
Well, you've got a couple of things going for you. Number one, you've got a guy who's already got familiarity with the system. You've got a guy who's a known commodity at the NFL level. So you've got a couple of things going for you there. You've also got a guy who wants to be there, you know. Draft picks just want to play in the NFL. You've got a guy that wants to be with your head coach and in that offensive system in Kyle Shanahan. So I think that those are the things that you need to look at when you're saying that. If you're comparing, you know, we can sit here and say that, you know, it's just a loaded draft class with Allen and Rosen and Darnold and all these guys and stuff like that. We don't know how they're going to translate to the league. We know who Kirk Cousins is. So there's a known commodity there. And you're not, you know, wasting three, four years trying to get a guy up to speed that may or may not be the guy, you know, that kind of thing. So I think you're not getting trapped like the Jaguars are with Bortles. You know what I mean?
Right. Absolutely. Okay. And that makes a lot of sense. Now, how much time have you spent looking at these quarterbacks in the draft? Because another one of the questions is, who do you have as your number one quarterback in the coming out in the draft this year as of now?
Well, it's a little too early to say that because some of these guys are underclassmen. We don't know who's going to declare and things like that. You know, I've given each of these guys kind of a once-over, haven't really dug too deep yet. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you that Darnold and Allen are probably going to be 1-2 if they were to come out. And I'll tell you that Allen will come out. He was considering coming out last year out of Wyoming. So unless he has a disastrous season or gets hurt, he will come out. He's, reminds you a lot of Carson Wentz, maybe Ben Roethlisberger, got a big arm, athletic, that kind of thing, played a lower level of competition just like those two guys. So, speed of the game might be an issue for him. It took, Roethlisberger 2-3 years to become Roethlisberger. Mm-hmm. I think that Allen would be, if you could get him, that said, is he the best fit for what they do? Is Darnold the best fit? Rosen, I think Cousins is a better fit than either one of those guys just based on skill set. But, I think that, Kyle's a QB guru and could turn any of those guys into a good quarterback. But I think the known commodity that you get out of Cousins is better than trying to deal with one of the rookies here.
Interesting. I really do like Allen also. Just so you know, I love what the guy brings to the table and so much untapped potential. That's a dangerous word, but it is what it is. You know, we have to see more from him. So I'm looking forward to watching him this year. What are your thoughts on Beathard? I mean, I know that pick kind of came out of nowhere and the kind of shocked the entire world that the fact that the 49ers moved up to get him. You move up to get a guy in the third round, and by no means is anyone expecting a third round to turn out to be your franchise guy. But they moved up to get him. It's going to be a lot of added pressure on him. And then you have the talks of Kirk Cousins. It seems like the Niners are kind of gung-ho after getting a quarterback. What are your thoughts on Beathard there?
Well, everybody's excited about the draft day, That's kind of a thing. Everybody's always excited. He was always the guy they wanted, that kind of thing. I wasn't the biggest fan of CJ coming out, but I will say this. Kyle Shanahan has a knack and an eye for finding quarterback talent. He always has. And so I would defer to his judgment on that. That said, I view CJ as a long-term spot start number two type. Maybe you guys got your backup of the future. Maybe, maybe Kirk comes in 4 or 5 years and then CJ takes over down the line kind of thing. But, I don't view him as the quarterback of the future right now. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe he makes me look a fool for that. But, I view him more as a Trevor Siemian type, a long-term backup really than an NFL starter.
I hear that. All right. And I want to ask you about a couple of guys that are in the NFL right now that are not yet under contract for the year going forward or for years going forward. Sam Bradford, Teddy Bridgewater, and even Matt Stafford. I know it's a long shot that Matt Stafford reaches free agency, but let's play a little game here. What do you think of those three guys, and which one do you think would even throw Kirk Cousins in there? Who do you think would best fit a Kyle Shanahan type of system?
I think Bradford or Cousins, with Cousins obviously having the edge due to familiarity, would be the best fits for Shanahan. And I don't know that Bradford could do it anymore. His knees are shot, so I don't know that he can boot to the edge on some of those boot action plays that Kyle likes to do, you know, run left, boot right type stuff. So I would say Cousins is the best fit. I think Stafford could certainly excel in that. You know, he's got all the tools in the world, get some size to him, but I don't think, you know, I think when you look at what you get out of Kirk, which is a guy who's hungry and wants to be there, I think the edge you have to give to Cousins.
Wow. Very, very interesting. I know a lot of fans are whispering about Teddy Bridgewater, and I wasn't quite sure, you know, the fit that would be there. But, I mean, I've seen Kyle Shanahan work with literally both ends of the spectrum, a perfect pocket quarterback, and then you see what he did with the likes of RG3. So, I mean, I wouldn't count him out for using anyone. But like you said, I do agree that the he does need a little bit of mobility. And Sam Bradford and those knees, you're right, that's something I hadn't even given any thought to. I'm not going to bother you too much longer here, man. Just overall, and this is going to be away from the quarterbacks really quick. Have you heard anything about Carlos Hyde and the running back situation here in San Francisco? I know that... you know, he's in his last year here. He's often injured. I like the guy. I like what I see from him when he gets on the field. But the question is, do you think he's going to be here going forward?
Well, this is an evaluation year. Similar to what's going to go on up there in Los Angeles with the Rams this year. Well, really the Rams and the Chargers, but it's more similar to the Rams, I think. I think this season, where there's going to be a lot of evaluation going on. Guys that were drafted higher, had big names or had issues, things like that, they're going to run them through, see what they've got, and see if it's worth it to go long term with these guys rather than try to wrap them up now and then get saddled with a, you know, an albatross of a contract. So you know, I like Hyde. I think that when he's healthy, he's a fantastic runner. I think the question is, can he stay healthy? How does he adapt to Shanahan's system and scheme? And I think that they're going to be patient in their evaluation of that rather than just jump out there and trying to sign bodies. This is an evaluation year. They're going to be running through a bunch of different guys, kind of see what they've got, you know, and look to build something going forward.
Absolutely. I love it. I love it, man. Thank you so much for joining me. Ladies and gentlemen, Benjamin Albright, you guys give him a follow on Twitter. That's all with two L's, A-L-L-B-R-I-G-H-T, NFL. Are you working on anything that you want people to be on the lookout for? Anything that you want to tell people about before you get out of here?
You know, not anything specific at the moment. You know, usually just stay tuned to the Twitter feed, and I'll put that information out there along with the rest of the dumpster fire that is my Twitter feed.
Dumpster fire. I'm telling you, man, you have one of the most entertaining timelines I've ever seen, man. I'm not kidding. Keep up the good work. And again, thank you so much for joining us here at Nothing But Niners. We really appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime.
Nothing But Niners!
So there it is, man. That was the end of the interview there. I had a lot of fun talking with Albright. But Tony, he said some interesting things in there. But the one thing he said, I know a lot of 49er fans are, you know, we don't need Kirk Cousins because this draft is loaded. And he had something very interesting. And then you thought that was interesting, too. Why don't you go ahead and say what that was he was talking about there.
Sure, Mike. Basically, he was touching on the 18 draft class. You have, as we all know, Darnold from USC, Rosen from UCLA. Then you got Allen from Wyoming, Falk from Washington State. But, you know, these guys could be excellent in college, put up all these crazy numbers. And the question is, will it translate into Kyle's scheme? You saw Kyle bypass on all the top quarterbacks in this draft, and he took Bobby Beathard. And doing some research on Beathard, he, believe it or not, had the best footwork and mechanics at the combine. So it doesn't matter. Like let's say Darnold and Rosen. I think Darnold just started playing in a pro style system. I'm not too sure about Rosen. I know Allen doesn't, and I know Falk doesn't. So that eliminates them too. Now the question is, we have Hoyer, Barkley, we drafted Beathard, and we had the undrafted free agent Mullins on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
So, looking at it, your top three are Hoyer, Barkley, and Beathard. Obviously, the starting competition should be between Hoyer and Barkley, but you never know. Beathard might surprise people. So, are you willing to say, okay, you know what? We're not going to go after Kirk Cousins. He's 28, he'll be 29, his age, He's proven in the system. He's played in the pros. He's competed at a high level.
Yep.
Now, do you want to give that up for an unproven?
I mean,
like, you know what I'm saying?
I know. I completely get it. And that I thought when Albright said that, I mean, I was like, yeah, that's something that you really got to take home and think about. You know, he's spot on there. So many times people say, this is the guy, especially with the quarterback position. This is the guy, and it just doesn't work out. I mean, more times than not, it just doesn't work out. Look at, I know we all make fun of Cleveland, but Cleveland, I'll be damned if they don't go after quarterbacks as often as possible. It just doesn't work out all the time. It's not just a matter of the guy's abilities. You got to get the guy in the right system at the right time. And,
correct.
You know, that's going to be something that, now the one thing I will say about this regime is, they seem to go after the guy for the system. They don't look at just what this guy did in college. They don't look at stats. They don't look at numbers. They say this guy fits what we're looking for, and that's evident by the picking up of, like you said, C.J. Beathard. You know, they didn't go out there and look for the guy with the biggest, gaudiest numbers and, you know, who put up a bunch of yards and the lowest touchdown-interception ratio. That's not what they were focused on. It was more about look at his pocket presence. Look at him willing to take a hit. Those are the things that they commended him on. When they did their pressers after the draft, that's what they focused on. So hopefully we have some good guys here. I think that we're in good hands here. So we're going to wrap this up. But before we do, I want to compare two quarterbacks, quarterback A and quarterback B. I want to give you some numbers here, and I want you to jot them down. So I want you to get something to write with, and I want you to tell me which one of these quarterbacks you would prefer to take. All right, and then we're going to end this episode. All right. Let me know when you're ready. And then we're gonna knock this out. All right, so quarterback A. I'm gonna give you all career numbers here. Quarterback A, 64.4% completion percentage. Okay. Attempts per game, 32.9. All right. Yards per game, 254.6. Interception percentage for the career, 2.6%. All right, you got that. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you
interception was career. You said right.
Yep, career interception rate with a percentage. So all the passes they throw, 2.6% are interceptions. And then the final one that I'm going to give you here is his quarterback rate, 94.7. Okay. You got all that?
94.7.
94.7 QBR. Yep. All right. Here's quarterback number two, or quarterback B. I don't know if you did A or B, but here's the second guy, okay? All right. Completion percentage, 65.9. Okay. Did I give you attempts per game?
Yes.
33.8. Yards per game, 263.3. Interception percentage, 2.7. Okay. And quarterback rate, 93.6. All right. So looking at these two numbers, if you have to get one of these guys going forward for the next 4 years, for the 49ers, just off these numbers, which guy are you taking?
For Kyle's system?
Well, yeah. But
you know, I would have to say, wow.
These numbers are pretty close, right? These are some good numbers.
They are.
These are some good numbers.
I don't know. It's a tough one. This really stumped me. Like, this is a good one.
I'm trying to think. Let me see if there's any other tiebreakers I would throw in here. All right. How about touchdown percentage? How's that? I'll give you touchdown percentage. For quarterback number one, 5.3%. Okay. Quarterback number two, the touchdown percentage is 4.6%.
All wow. Right.
Yeah. And then we'll do one more here. We're going to give you an average per attempt. Okay? For quarterback one, average per attempt is 7.7. For quarterback two, it's 7.8.
Are these active players, Mike?
Yes, they are active players. I don't want you to try to guess who they are. I want you to pick one of these guys to be on the 49ers quarterback for the next 3 or 4 years.
Oh, my God.
And there's no right or wrong answer here. They're both good guys. You can tell by their numbers. I mean, 64.4 and 65.9 completion percentage. That tells you a lot. These aren't just two off the block quarterbacks.
I would take, being that Kyle's going to come out with a run first attack probably in the beginning of the season. You go with the highest completion rate is 10.7.
Quarterback one had 64.4. Quarterback two at 65.9.
Oh, my God. This is crazy. Oh, man.
I love it.
PD. Oh, there's a drastic with the TD percentage.
Yeah, big difference. Big difference right there. You're absolutely right.
I will go with A.
You're going to go with A. Yeah. All right, so the touchdown percentage is probably why the quarterback rating is over a point, a percentage higher. Quarterback A was Phillip Rivers. Okay. Quarterback B was none other than Kirk Cousins.
Really?
Kirk Cousins, 65.9% completion percentage. Career, these are career numbers, not just over the last two seasons or anything.
Man,
these are career numbers for him. So people really love Phillip Rivers. Everyone thinks that he is the man. But, you know, the numbers speak for themselves, kind of. You know, numbers don't tell the whole story, but they definitely tell a part of it. And when it comes time to look at career numbers, no one's gonna say, yeah, but remember that one game in 2014 when Phillip Rivers did this. They're going to go back and they're going to look at their career. And so far, percentages, they're pretty close. Kirk Cousins is pretty comparable to Phillip Rivers, minus that awkward throwing motion. So just something for you guys to think about. Is there anything else you wanted to say on that? What do you think about the little comparison exercise we just did?
You stumped me. Yes, that was tough, Mike. I'm telling you, that was a tough one.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It really was.
All right, Tony. Listen, man, thanks for joining me today. You guys, Tony is awesome. You guys can give him a follow on Twitter. Tony, tell him your Twitter handle, man. I know it's NJ Niner Fan, but I don't want to mess it up.
NJ Niner Fan 499.
499.
If you guys have any questions, you want to ask me a question, feel free to hit me up. It's not a problem. I'll answer you.
That's right. He is the official GM here for us at Nothing But Niners. Tony will be the reason the 49ers don't trade for Kirk Cousins this season, and we're going to ride it out and see what happens next season. All right. Guys, make sure you give us a follow, Nothing But 9ERS on Twitter. We are on Snapchat. We are on Snapchat, IG, Facebook,
YouTube.
Anything, YouTube, that's right. Guys, go to the YouTube page. Please search for Nothing But Niners and hit the subscribe button. We are bringing you guys live interviews there all the time. And by the way, the podcast. Obviously, you are listening to this podcast. Tell somebody else about it. Just find one person and say, guys, check out the Nothing But Niners podcast, okay? We try to bring you guys some good content all the time. Like it, subscribe to it. Leave us some feedback also, some 5-star ratings, wherever it is that you're listening to it. We are on every podcasting platform there is: Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play. If you think about it, we are there. All right, guys. So I'm going to leave you guys the way Nick likes to sign out, and that is, above all else, stay faithful. We out.